So one, to the existence of fiduciary relationships, one way fiduciary relationships exist is through established common law formal fiduciary relationships. And you'll be familiar with some of these examples. An agent owes a fiduciary duty to his or her principal. A trustee owes fiduciary duties to their beneficiaries. Officers and directors of a company owe fiduciary duties to the company, generally speaking. Partners owe fiduciary duties to each other, to the extent they're general partners. Employees owe fiduciary duties to their companies. That's not necessarily a relationship that some people might imagine exists, but the law is well established that employees owe all sorts of fiduciary duties to their companies, including not to misuse company assets for their own personal benefit, not to usurp corporate opportunities for their personal benefit. And if an employee breaches those types of duties, the employee could face a fiduciary breach claim. Attorneys, obviously we have fiduciary relationships with our clients. Surprising to some lawyers, it was surprising to me when I started out. Associates have been held to owe certain fiduciary duties to their law firms, even though they are not partners in their law firms. So that's one category. So practice tip, if you encounter a case where you see some bad conduct in a business relationship, maybe you have a contract, I would counsel you to take a look at some of these formal fiduciary duties that the case is recognized and see if your case fits one of those formal duties, because it certainly opens up the avenues for recovery if you're a plaintiff. Second category of fiduciary relationships are described in the case law as informal duties, and they arise when a party is justified, and that's important, when a party is justified in placing confidence in the belief that another person will act in their best interest. How do you know if you have an informal fiduciary relationship? There's no magic test. It is a facts and circumstances analysis. And so you cannot look at a list of, you know, A, B, C, check them off, and be confident that there's not an informal fiduciary relationship that a court will recognize. However, there are indicia of these types of relationships. Courts look at whether there's a family tie. Courts look at whether there's been cohabitation between the parties. Courts look at disparities in business expertise or knowledge, power sometimes in the corporate context where you have someone who's running an organization, running the day-to-day, and someone who may have an economic interest in the company who has a history of relying on that person with the superior business expertise and control. Key element of informal fiduciary duties is that relationship must arise prior to and independent from whatever the challenged transaction is in your case. So imagine a scenario where two part owners of a company are in a business transaction. One feels that the other breached a fiduciary duty and claims that they have an informal fiduciary relationship. Courts will ask, look, was that relationship something that the parties had before this transaction? Or is the allegation that the fiduciary duty only arises in that transaction? You need something more than reliance in a particular transaction or business dealing in order to sustain a claim for an informal fiduciary relationship. You really, the courts often say you need a history of that reliance. So what does it mean to be a fiduciary? I gave you the Texas Supreme Court's view on that back in 1942. I'll also give you the words of Chief Justice Cardozo, which are often cited, back in Meinhard versus Salmon. Justice Cardozo says, a trustee is held something stricter than the morals of the marketplace. Not honesty alone, but the punctilio of honor the most sensitive. That's the duty. The punctilio of an honor the most sensitive. The point is, this is a high duty, and courts are very protective of it. So what are the specific standards of conduct that a fiduciary must follow? When we talk about fiduciary duties, we're really talking about a series of specific duties that together the cases talk about generally as fiduciary in nature. The first is the duty of good faith and fair dealing. That's essentially to conduct oneself with strict integrity and not to conceal matters that might influence a fiduciary's actions to the beneficiary's detriment. Second is the duty of loyalty. That has to do with conflicts of interest. So a fiduciary can't put his or herself in a position where his or her self-interests conflict with those of the beneficiary. There's the duty of care. It's rarely litigated in the fiduciary context because the cases have collapsed that duty down to the duty of ordinary care that we all owe each other. And in light of the business judgment rule, which says that corporate officers and directors can't be held liable for breaching an ordinary duty of negligence so long as they're not in a conflict of interest, the duty of care isn't a duty that has much teeth. The duty of candor, though, is a duty with some teeth. The duty is to deal openly with and to make full disclosure to the beneficiary of matters material to the relationship. It's also the duty to account for benefits that the fiduciary receives in one's fiduciary capacity, even where the beneficiary doesn't suffer an injury. And finally, the duty of obedience, which is the duty to avoid directing a corporation to violate a law.